reveal. Some of you have already seen some of the pictures on your way in. We have some stuff to give to you on the way out. So I want to deal with, for the next few moments, on the building plan directly. It was originally our intention to have kind of a meeting and a catered dinner and present this in a, you know, nice big formal way. And the last 10 months have dictated otherwise. And I knew that just about the time we invited this guest speaker in, got the right caterer, had the room reserved, something was going to happen. And I just didn't want to delay multiple times, and I felt this was the best way. So thank you for giving a little bit more of your time on a Sunday morning to get acquainted with what God wants to do with our group. All right. The first thing, some of you are newer to our group. You haven't been setting up and tearing down and carrying in cords and cables and speakers and cameras multiple years. Our old timers, if I can use that time, it has nothing to do with age, has everything to do with how long you've been part of the church. This makes sense. Absolutely. We will build. This has to happen. But some of you may not be on board with that. So I just want to talk to you about some of the reasons why we believe as a church that this is the right time to build and why a building is important. Why can't we just do what we're doing now? All right. The first thing has to do with security. You know, the Lord knew what was coming. I didn't in 2017 when we started the building fund. But just about 3 years later, we were asked to leave the school, and they still haven't invited us back. In fact, just in the last week, they've requested all the keys back. It looks like this is a permanent... Nobody's saying that. They've just done step after step to indicate that they're not interested in having us back. So could it happen? Maybe. But we really need to begin thinking as a church family beyond the school. What about here? Well, this is good if you're in the, you know, 40-something plus category. But if you're a family with small children, there is no room to do nursery or kids care. And our church will always be limited by older folks, and families will be inhibited from coming because we can't offer them the security of someplace for their children while they're here. So there are some drawbacks. And so we're not, so that we don't get locked out again, I think it's important that we think in terms of having our own place. Visibility is another problem. This building is named the Emerald Event Center. I can tell people where we meet, but our signs are only out during our services on Sunday. People don't know that we exist. And many times I mention my church, people have never heard of us. We have no visibility in the community. I've done what we can on Facebook and social media, but you can only do so much. Not everybody's on those platforms. The best thing is to have a marquee sign. This gives us the opportunity of doing that. Another problem is flexibility, to be able to set our own schedule. Right now, we're leapfrogging on Sundays with another church. If I want to do something, then I have to work with not only Crystal, but this other guy who meets at different hours. To have your own building allows you to set the schedule. You can do something besides just Sundays. You can meet on Saturdays or Wednesdays and have regular services whenever. And that's not open to us right now. So flexibility is another reason. Another reason is legacy. I realize I won't be around forever. Probably most of you realize the same thing. But you have an opportunity through a building to impact the generation that comes after you, to keep the lights on for a gospel witness. No church and no pastor can guarantee that the church will always be faithful. But if you build a church and you put the right kind of people in it, then it should last a generation or two. And it gives you the opportunity to be sowing seeds of gospel impact in this community long after you've breathed your last breath. And I think that's a great advantage to a building. And so for these reasons, there are multiple ones, I thought of these to share with you today. What's our plan? Well, I want to maximize our land use. I told Jack originally we wanted 3 to 5 acres. He did start looking, but all those properties that size were out of our price range or too far out in the country to invite anybody to go to. So we've only ended up with 2 acres. So we really need in our building to think about maximizing land space so that we're not building multiple buildings around a campus because we're going to run out of land real fast. So you have to think forward when you're doing that, maximize land use and parking space. We want to meet our current needs. We want to be able to minister to everybody. We want to have a nursery for the younger kids. We want to have a children's church room. So that's already on our mind. That's what we're thinking. We also want to build once. This is a concept I don't know that many of you are familiar with. You've probably been in churches that have been part of multiple building programs. We'll build, then we're going to build a fellowship hall, then we're going to build an educational wing, then we're going to build a gymnasium, then we're going to build a school, and it's multiple buildings. I really am interested in us thinking forward so that we build once to accommodate whatever the needs might come up in a church down the road. So this is a concept that's part of our building design. All right. Our property is located on Cortera Road. I've already showed you this picture, but now I'm going to show you roughly where the building is located. It's designed to be inside the setback on the eastern edge of the property, and the driveway will be relocated to the west side to put us further away from the intersection right here, which is what the town of Marana has already requested, to get our driveway as far away from the intersection as possible. That's why our building has necessitated being moved to the east side of the property. That was not our original intention. It's an adjustment for the city. All right? So that gives you an idea of where we are. And we're presently planning just to develop the acre that we own and leave this independent if the city will let us. We've already kind of pitched that idea to the city. There's openness to that, as long as we can figure out how to get enough parking spaces on this section so that we're not a burden or a nuisance to our neighbors. Here's a projected site now, an aerial view of what the building would look like along the east side of the property. And the parking spaces that you presently see located here accommodate roughly 30 to 32 parking spaces. I actually haven't counted them on this picture. I have on others, and I don't know if the two pictures match. But anyway, that's what it will look like. This is a view from looking south, if you're standing on Cortera Road, what the building will look like. It does have these cross-shaped patterns at the front to indicate clearly that it would be a church. Here's an east view looking east, aerially. And this is a closer up of the west side of the building that shows where the sanctuary located toward Cortera Road, the entry doors, and the nursery and classroom space would be back at this part of the building. All right, here is the floor plan. And the sanctuary presently is slated to seat 59, something about that right there, presently. The building is designed to grow. Remember I told you earlier one of our building concepts was build once. Build once. So you want to have flexibility when you build once so you don't have to build additions. So we have deliberately added a classroom behind the sanctuary that will be structured in such a way that this wall can be removed and the sanctuary pushed backwards. So all we do to increase the size of the congregation is remodel, not rebuild. This is a concept. This is what we're trying to accomplish. Build once, not multiple times. All right? Over here are our offices. This is the church office, a welcome center, pastor's office presently. Offices can be generally relocated pretty easily, so these also sit behind the sanctuary so that they can be blown out if necessary to extend sanctuary seating backwards. If both of those rooms were removed, then we would be able to accommodate in excess of 200 people without having to rebuild. Did you get the idea? We don't want to rebuild, all right? We want to build once, maximize land use, and not have to visit this in another business meeting 4 years from now. We're trying to think forward, all right? We have a large narthex here, and presently there's a dividable wall or folding wall here. This could, if our congregation grows, this divider would be removed and the narthex would go all the way through. Presently, it's going to be an additional classroom. And in that classroom is a small kitchenette, a stove and a sink and some pantry space so that we can serve food in the narthex as our fellowship hall. So we're doubling the narthex as a fellowship hall because you don't use a fellowship hall all the time. So it would be very similar to what we had done at the school, where if we're having a fellowship, the tables would be set up. You would navigate around those in on fellowship days. So we're not building more because our land use is minimal. We're not building more. We're double purposing rooms. All right. Bathrooms are sitting right off of the narthex. That's a request for me. I always go into buildings and you're looking for the restroom and somebody has to say, it's down that hall, take a left. And in a hospital, it's always like that. You can never find the restrooms in a hospital. And I know because I visit hospitals, all right? So I was really keen about putting them right on the narthex, and they are. The ladies' room connects with the nursery, and that's why the nursery sits right behind there. And also another small classroom, which could be used as a divider for smaller kids. If you wanted to get your walkers away from your infants, there's a way to double use these rooms as two nurseries, or a nursery and a classroom. And the back room is a storage area. Tables and chairs are necessities, will be for fellowship halls. We need a place to put them, so the storage got tucked back here. Over here is a large classroom. It's actually 600 feet, square feet. If you take out this dividable room, it could be two classrooms or one large one, depending on the size of a kids or teen group. So that is generally the main area of the floor plan. And again, we're facing west, as you can tell. So these doors face directly west, and Cortero Farms Road is now this way. All right. I know folk are going to have questions, but to keep the service at a regular, reasonable length, what I'm going to do is just plow through this. I'm going to give you a brochure with all this information on your way out today, and you can take it and read about it. I'll stand and answer questions as long as I can today, and I'll answer questions for you. Your questions are important to me, your insights too, but we just don't have time to do that right now. Next. What's it going to cost to build something like this? Can I just tell you, I think this is just absolutely absurd. If you've ever tried to build something, when you have to start doing permits and impact fees, I've had multiple calls with a traffic guy. They're going to make us do a traffic report so they can tell how many cars were going to come in, when they're going to load the roads, and how difficult it is for other people adjacent. So you just start doing a commercial building project, I had no idea. So if you feel these numbers are absurd, I think that, yeah, join the club. All right. So we anticipate having to pay an architect. The plans we have are just rough sketches done by my brother-in-law. We actually even paid for them. He's just done all this gratis to us just to get us to this stage. All right. But when we actually start doing plumbing and electrical, we'll have to pay an architect locally to do all that work. Permits and site development, you look at that, $125,000, and that's really true. I'm sorry. It really is. All the thing. It includes utility hookups to the property, impact fees, traffic fees, fire fees, a bigger fire pipeline to service sprinklers to the building. It just goes on and on and on. Yep. All right. We anticipate the building construction will take $930,000 or a little bit less. The architect I've been talking to thinks we can get it done for less than that, but he actually hasn't sat down and run all the schematics. So this is the best number I can give you at this time. If you put it all together, the projected cost is $1.1 million for a 7,100 square feet facility. All right? Take a deep breath. Now, when you look at the size of the project, what are you supposed to remember? Size of his hand. That's right. You have to look at the size of his hand. If you just look at the size of the project right now, you're going to go, what in tarnation are you thinking? Let me talk to you about some strategies here. How do you and I get from that to where we need to be as a church? All right? Here's what we do. The first thing you need to do is you need to pray. And you're going to get a brochure, whatever you use, you need to begin making this a matter of daily prayer. I gave you some stories at the end of my message. When I wanted something, that's exactly what I did. I nagged God in a good way until he decided that that was what Mike is going to get. And I really think that this is our first and best strategy. Don't pass over number one. Don't just say, well, the pastor's doing it and I'm off the hook. No, I would love a chorus of 50 or 60 people in this room talking to God about this every day. When you meet with God, it'll only take you a minute or less. God, there's our church. You satisfy other people. Would you satisfy us with a place? And you make it possible. You know, last year, we cleared $100,000 to pay off that front acre, and we did it in about 6 months. That money was not in this church. That was not here. But it came in. And I've already talked to people this week. They're sending me money. And I said, if you want to send me money, that's great. And I'll put it toward our building fund. Amen. It's going to happen. God is able. Amen. Let's just get excited. Remember what Tozer said? If you only do what you can do, you only see what you can do. If you try something that only God can do, then you see what God can do. Amen. So this gets me excited. All right. I think you also ought to think about giving something regularly to the building fund. It may not be much, but you nickel and dime things away. It isn't the big gifts that make the biggest difference in the church. It's those $10 gifts that come in every week. Or that $20 every couple weeks. And they just keep giving it and giving it and giving it. And you know what? $20 every week for 2 years is over $2,000. I don't just have free cash just sitting around not knowing what to do with it. But if I gave $20 a week over 2 years, what's 20 times 50? Doing the math right, that's $1,000. You do it 2 years and you can have 4 weeks of vacation and still give $2,000 in 2 years. It really is possible. Makes sense to me. I can scrimp. I can maybe not go out to eat, you know, once. You know, the Old Testament took sacrifice. I think it's going to take sacrifice on our part. And the sacrifice isn't necessarily the huge gift that we give out, but just the regular nickel and dime along the way. We might be able to afford receive grants or church building teams. Certainly want to look into this. I do want to have a conversation in the future about maybe doing our own drywall. We can do our own painting. There are things that we can do. We get somebody to get the bones up for us and we can take over. There are ways to save money. I'm actually showing you prices that are turnkey. So it's very possible that we could have a significant savings over what you just saw on the screen. Legacy or estate gifts, don't minimize this. I've been in churches where people have given small parts of their estate, like 5 or 10%, and it's made a huge difference to the work. If we got one estate gift of $200,000, we could probably start building before the end of the year. Really. And I'll show you that. I think I'm going to show you this in a minute. All right. So legacy or estate gifts, if you never consider putting your church in, this would be a great time to put us in. Put in church, Continental Church, building fund. And you can even have a disclaimer. If the building's already built, it doesn't go that. It goes to something else. You tell your financial planner and they'll do it for you. And this is, hey, none of us knows. I mean, COVID is taking people that didn't expect to die. And I really want to encourage some of you to think that. You have life insurance. You need to take care of your family. I get that. And I'm not leaning on you. But if you would talk to your financial advisor to give 10% of your estate, you don't know what an impact that could be. And you could really have a legacy for the Lord in this community with a gospel preaching church. Boy, if I didn't do anything else in my life, if I could do that, I would feel like I've accomplished something. All right. And I do plan at some point, I think we are going to end up financing. I'm hoping it's far less than 50%. But I have talked to some banks. I've gone through the numbers with them. And they're comfortable right now, even just with our finances the way they are, I could get up to $500,000 on a loan. I'm not saying it's the right thing to do. I'd rather just see all the cash money come in. Amen. With God's hand. But at the same time, I'd really like to build in a couple years. And so as we plan out the expense of over renting as to putting our money into a building, the flip side might be better just to go ahead and build and carry a note. $500,000 right now at today's rates on a 10-year note is a little over $3,000 a month. We could afford that. We were actually looking at renting a place for $3,000 with half as much square foot as this building. So if I could get our building and only have to pay $3,000 of rent for 10 years, I'd do it in a heartbeat. It just makes sense not to pay rent and have my own space and have twice as much than I can rent. Absolutely. Do it in a heartbeat. All right, so next, how do we do this? Do you know we already have 43,000? Look at your bulletin. We already, after paying off the land, at $43,869. Within a few, maybe by the end of today, we'll have enough in our building fund. We could actually hire the architect and start going. I mean, we're almost ready for phase one. That is phase one. Phase two, $125,000 to pay all the impact fees, permit fees, get the utilities up to the site. There are utilities on the site, but you understand in a commercial building, you can't just have a house jack. You've got to have multiple phases of electricity coming in, a bigger sewer line, etc. So it just if you think that number is absurd, yeah, welcome to the club. All right, next one. After that, if we can raise $350,000 beyond those first two numbers, we should be able to secure financing and beginning to build. And with money coming in while the building is going on, I imagine that within 9 to 12 months after we start building, we could actually have an occupancy permit. It's possible. All right? So you add all those numbers together, and you're a little over $500,000. So if we raise $500,000 in 2 years, we can start building. And that's my goal. If we do it this way, we carry a note of around $3,000. We're going to do the first two steps, $45,000, $125,000 on a cash basis. Once everything is lined up that way, then when we have sufficient funds, we'll start talking to a financial institution to do what is a construction loan. I actually thought we'll just do as much cash as we can, and when the money runs out, then we'll go to the bank and ask for help. They don't let you do that way. I'm learning. When you build, the bank wants to be on the front end of any financing. They want to finance the whole project because they're afraid if they don't get in on the front end that some contractor will have another lien on the property that they don't have and they could lose their money. So if we do consider financing, we have to actually consider it on the front end. I don't like the system. I'm just telling you the facts. All right. So, hey, my goal, 2 years from today, we're breaking ground or sooner. You think that's impossible? Great. God's hand is huge. All right, let's talk about his hand for a minute. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Matthew 19:26, with men this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible. So I want to believe God for these things. It would be great if God would supply the money in the next 2 years and we don't even have to consider financing. So, I don't... There are different opinions on borrowing and money. And I think the best opinion is don't borrow. Just do it cash. But there are trade-offs, right? As long as we're renting, we're losing money and we could be putting that toward a building. So we'll see how the Lord leads you and us over the next few weeks and months. All right, you're going to get a building brochure on the way out. I've asked my son to place these on the table to your left on the way out. They go through all of the things I just talked to you on these screens. They're in the... So go over, read it through again. If I went too fast, pray about it. And we will answer questions as we're able afterwards. Inside that building brochure, be careful. There's a prayer card. What did I tell you is our best strategy?
Pray.
So I have included in your building brochure a prayer card. It's not to be turned in. I don't want to see it. I want you to go through it. And it gives several different ways that you might be able to give or contribute to the building program. Why don't you check the ones you believe God wants you to do and put a little number there and make it your prayer card. You know why I'm asking you to do that? Because I have great intentions and I forget. That's why the Lord gave me a wife, so I could remember. But having a little card where it says, I'm going to give $20 a week, or I'm going to give $50 a month, or I'm going to give X amount of dollars. And I put that in, and I just pray about it. I don't forget what I've committed, what I want to do. And so I would encourage you to take that, make it a matter of prayer. I hope it's a help to you. It's intended to be not a burden, but a blessing. If you don't like it, throw it out. That's okay. I won't know, and I won't be offended. So pick up your copy on the entry table. I'm going to ask my son, if he will, now to go and put that on the table so that though they are available. Oh, you know what? Hold on a second, because we're about ready to do a song. Let's go ahead and bring up the...